Hello, could I speak to the McDonald brothers, please?
You're speaking to David McDonald now, and I've just put you on loudspeaker, and I'll introduce you to Micheál.
How are you? I'm Micheál McDonald, co-founder as well of Cloudy Star Limited.
Well, that's why I'm ringing you up, actually, guys. I heard you had actually have got an interesting company, and that you're doing something interesting, and that you're both in Limerick.
Yeah, well, the interesting company is Cloudy Star, and what we do is we're an in-house design company, and we design what we like to think as fun products. At the moment, one of the fun products we have is called Tippers.
Can you hang on a second? Hang on a second. Now, I have to work out. One of you is called Micheál, and the other one is called David. So
yes.
You probably both sound the same. You certainly sound the same to me, but just let's hear from each of you. Which of you, are you twins, or is one older than the other?
Well, I'm the oldest one, and my name is David, but if you were sitting beside us, you would think we're twins. Everybody does think we're twins.
You're two Irish entrepreneurs, and I'm guessing that you're less than 30 years old. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I'm 26, and Micheál is 25, but he looked a slight bit older.
He's probably the one who does most of the worrying.
Yeah, and most of the work.
Well, look, I hear you're in the Heartnut Centre in Limerick, which is a place that a lot of entrepreneurs, startups start their life. And you're on a program called the New Frontiers Program, funded by Enterprise Ireland. But we leave all that much aside. I'm actually very interested in you for two reasons. One of which I hear you're doing something wonderful for children. And secondly, I hear you're doing a Kickstarter campaign.
Well, the wonderful thing we're trying to do for children is the product we've designed, we actually want to encourage children to write more. Children are very quick learners, but it's scientifically proven that children that write the actual words, letters or numbers, or even draw a picture, retain more information than kids that just use an iPad or whether it's an iPad, whether it's a smartphone or a keypad. So we want children to have, the product is designed like a toy, so it slips onto a pen or pencil and it has a beautiful spiral design and it comes in a wonderful pink and a wonderful blue colour. So we want them to be attracted to it, but we don't want them to see it as a chore, like here, use this product or use this toy to do your homework. We want them to actually be attracted to it.
So what age children are we talking about now? Come on, what ages are these children going to have pretty pencils at?
Well, from 4 right up to 11, I suppose, children are really starting to learn the handwriting. And even earlier than that, you see, children are picking up their iPads now, and they're learning to use the iPad before they can actually master the art of penmanship. So it's actually becoming a problem for teachers, and we have worked closely with teachers in County Mayo. It's actually where we're from, and it's one of the problems to see, because all parents, practically all parents now have touch devices, and the children can use it better than most adults. So they're losing this basic art of penmanship, and that's what we want to encourage.
Look, I have an 8-year-old daughter, I better confess, right? I have an 8-year-old daughter, and are you actually telling me that you guys from County Mayo in Ireland are in favour of handwriting?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
We'd be in favour of both. We don't want to take away from learning through technology or through taking written notes or pen and paper. Both have the advantages, so we wouldn't be taken away from one or given to the other. We'd be in favour of both.
And what have you invented then? If you're technologists in some way who love handwriting and want kids to be able to write properly, what have you actually invented?
Well, the product is called Tippers, and it's spelled T-I-P-P-E-R-Z, and what it does is it's a stylus pen that slides over the top of a normal pen. If you say the big pen or the Faber-Castell pencil, it slides over the top of it, and once the child's hand or the adult's hand touches the product, it takes it takes a charge from your hand and brings it onto the screen of the tablet, and it works the device.
Well, so the basic bit of magic is where the electrical charge is taken from your finger, it travels down to the device, and then you can operate the screen. So it's just a simple bit of technology. It's like taking an electric charge through a copper wire.
So this is electric handwriting?
Well, it's not electric handwriting, but in order to use a touchscreen device, there's a conductive energy which comes from your fingertip, and then that allows you to operate the device. So without getting too technical about it, it's just basically an electric charge that every person has in their hand. It's like the static energy, I suppose, when you rub your hair, and sometimes you feel your hair standing on your head. It's the same principle. There's a static energy that comes down through your hand to operate a touchscreen device.
And you've made very pretty pens, is that it? Very pretty, attractive pens that kids are going to love using.
Well, it's not an actual pen. It's an actual retrofitting cap that goes onto an existing pen or pencil. But there's billions upon billions of pens out there that cannot be used on touchscreen devices. So therefore, children are not going to use their pen or pencil beside their tablet. But when you have our retrofitting cap, which just slides over the pen and it looks beautiful and it's like a toy, the children are more inclined to use it.
And have any children tried it out?
Hundreds.
All in County Mayo in Ireland, or have you taken it to Sligo?
We have children that use it from Australia right back to the UK and Ireland, and we're in talks with distributors around the world to take the product, and that's why we're hoping for the success of our Kickstarter. We have 10,000 pre-orders on the product around the world, but in order to make it viable, we need to get up to at least 20,000 units. So this is the reason for running a Kickstarter. It's basically like getting more pre-orders for your product, and it basically proves that the concept is wanted by the general public and they actually like what we're doing.
Now, there are people listening to this who haven't a clue what Kickstarter is, right? They've never heard of this idea. All they know so far is that you guys are very interesting and you've come up with something potentially quite attractive to kids, and you need money. So tell me a bit more about this Kickstarter thing.
Okay, so Kickstarter is known as a crowdfunding platform where creative people, entrepreneurs, artists, comic book writers, anybody who likes to create new products can put their product up there. And you basically present your story to the crowd and you promote it yourself. And whether it's a product or a book, if people like what you're doing, they will then pledge money to you in order to get that product or book early. So basically it's pre-ordering the product and showing goodwill towards another person that you're saying, look, I like what these guys are doing, so therefore I'm going to give them a little boost. Or in other words, give them a kickstart with their business.
Well, I've done it myself. I better own up. I've done it myself. I actually gave something like either $10 or 10 euros to something that I thought was absolutely fantastic. So, and I felt very good about it myself. I thought, well, I'm an early funder of this very wonderful product. So
yeah.
How much does it cost to give you a small amount of money via Kickstarter? What's the lowest amount of money I could give you?
Well, the lowest amount of money is £1. So for £1, because it's a little amount of money, we'd give you a shout out on social media and thank you, and everyone will know that you supported us.
That's clever. So is the pound the same as a euro and the pound the same as a dollar? Would you take euros and dollars?
We can take euros and dollars, but you're actually charged the exchange rate. So a pound is exchanged to €1.20 or $1.65.
We won't worry, but the main idea is you can actually, with this Kickstarter campaign, you can actually get tiny amounts of money from huge numbers of people.
Exactly. And just this week, to give you an example,
the goodwill from people. One guy who designed the book, he got over $1 million in the space of 11 hours, which was incredible. So that, if people like you, that's exactly what can happen. It's just it's a major event where the crowd get together.
And his campaign is actually to help kids in schools that doesn't have the facilities for getting new books. So that's another angle on trying to help educate new kids. So he's already touching 3 million in pledges from people around the world.
Oh my God, that's a great amount of money. Look, you guys have been doing it then. Tell us about your Kickstarter campaign. What did you have to do first?
Well, first of all, originally we ran a Kickstarter over 2 years ago as a research and development project, because we heard about everyone talking about crowdfunding and people that weren't really entrepreneurial advising people to do Kickstarters. Now, anything worth doing is generally hard, so we said, look, if we're going to do the first one, research. We know what we've done right, we know what we've done wrong. So the first thing we had to do after deciding on doing it as a research project was to get an account. Now, at the time, you could only get an account if you had English bank account details or American bank account details. Now at this time you can actually do it from Canada and Australia. But we were fortunate enough to have a member on our team that's originally from the UK. So then we were able to register. So most Irish companies, unless they get somebody's bank account details from the US, Canada or Australia, won't be allowed to run a Kickstarter. Now there's Irish versions of Kickstarter as well, but they don't draw half the audience, or you don't get half the funding.
Let's stick with what you guys have done. Your first step is you actually opened a Kickstarter account, and you did it from the UK. So what did you do next?
Well, we had designed a product that we wanted to get funding for, and we started to work on a video that we thought the audience might like. So secondly, it was design the product, then design the video, and then put together a marketing campaign to try and get an outreach to the crowd.
And tell me about this video you made. How long is the video that you guys have made?
The video we have now is about 1 minute 45 seconds. It's fairly compact, but it gets a lot of information to the viewer. So
now, I've seen the video, but I watched it ever so quickly. Tell me, at the end of watching the video, what do you actually want people to feel when they've watched the video?
We'd like to see we're trying to encourage kids to write more. And actually, we'd want to feel rewarded because we're offering them a free games app for just watching the video. So we just want them to feel good, and that our intentions as a company is good, that we're rewarding you as best we can.
God, that's very clever. So just for watching the video, you get something in return.
Yes, because what we learned from the first Kickstarter is it is really hard to get people to support you, especially strangers. So we said, look, with the product, to make it even more fun for kids, we're going to have a games app. And with all the study we've done with children in focus groups, that's what they wanted. They said, why don't you do a game with this? And we were like, will we make it educational? No, we want to have fun. So we agreed with the children. We said, look, if the customer's always right, even if it's kids, give them what they want, and we'll bring out educational apps for our second games app. So while the first one is purely fun, we're already working on the next one, the next games, which encourage the penmanship, so children could, say, just trace the name with the stylus pen or do simple mathematics.
I'm going to get the details from you afterwards, and I'll put in the details about the video that you're giving, or the game that you're giving away free to people, because that sounds like a nice little treat. But tell me now, the last thing I want to ask you about is this marketing campaign. What do you have to do to have a marketing campaign on Kickstarter?
There's a lot of planning and there's a lot of effort going into it. In general, it's the same as starting any company. If you're running a Kickstarter, you have to look at it as starting a company. Even if it's for a small project, you have to find your target audience.
you're going to have to find the people that you want to help and you're solving a problem for. And you got to make contact with those guys long before you launch the campaign, or people will not be aware of what's happening. So we have contacted journalists all over the world,
500 journalists all over the world, and they're in different categories from technology, education, design, games, and we've contacted them from maybe 6 weeks ago up till while we're going through the campaign itself, and that's through phone and email.
But the smartest marketing thing you can do is through your existing network, your friends and your family. What the advice is to do in Kickstarter is to have organized your friends to pledge originally for you. So it looks better that if a stranger comes on there to say, look at these guys, must be liked, and someone else has backed them, so therefore I will also. So just contact your network and have funds ready from friends and family to go in there first. It's the best thing anyone can do in a Kickstarter.
Well, you know, you did well because you got in touch with James Corbett, who is a friend of mine, and he contacted me via Twitter and he said, would I speak to you? And then I phoned him up and we spoke on the telephone, and now we're here making a piece of audio about you. If you're doing that with lots of different people, the word will get around.
Just this morning I've done two interviews with local and national radio shows, and we have planned blog posts coming off other websites around the world. Especially with the game, whatever it is, the Italians absolutely love our game and we're getting hundreds of downloads a day over there. So you just don't know who's going to pick up on what you're doing from whatever country. So you got to have that plan together so people are going to find out.
When did the campaign begin? What date was that?
It started only 5 days ago, but we started planning it in January. So.
And when does the Kickstarter campaign end?
In 31 days exactly, so on the 5th of July, at 4 o'clock to be precise.
Okay, I tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to come back to you with a couple of other audios between now and the 5th of July. Will you do that with me?
We'd love to do that, and we'll tell you how we're getting on. We can tell you what worked, I suppose, and what didn't.
I'll be back to you again soon then. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a million. Appreciate your time.